Hi, welcome back to Raising Me and Mine podcast. Thank you so much for coming back and rocking with us. We are having a time. This is a good space we feel that we've created. And we've been getting a lot of messages actually from you all. So we thought this episode we will answer. We've actually got dilemmas, which is crazy.
Like we've crazy.
Actually fallen into like mum dilemma space.
I love that. I want to see what people are going through.
Yeah, exactly. So instead of responding via email, we thought, you know what? Let's test it out and see how it would be if we answered them on the pod. So that's what we're going to do. We are going to answer them. So how are you anyway?
I'm really well. I'm really well. I was just going to say as well, I'm so happy with how Nadia's episode was received.
I know.
It's doing so well.
Like Nadia is such a G, man.
She really is. Like the clips were going viral and everyone just was so inspired by her story. So like, obviously I'm so glad she came and shared it here because she's never, she doesn't really talk about it.
Yeah, I know. And as long as like, obviously you've known Nadia for like almost over two decades. And I've known her for almost 10 years now. But we've never spoken about her like, I've never spoken to her about her being a mum. And it's kind of crazy because I've just had a child. I have a boy. We're pretty much in similar situations. Like apart from the age I've had Ishmael, I'm a single mum with a boy. So really I should have been like, Nadia.
I know.
What do I do?
It's crazy, isn't it? And I feel like that's exactly what like Raising Me in Mind's about. Like,
yeah.
Like it's something that we were really conscious about as well. Not excluding older mums. Like not even excluding grandmas. Like you've raised two generations. You know what I mean? Like I feel like those mothers' stories are just as important if you've got teenagers, if you've got like young adults.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if anything, they are they've spearheaded this thing. Do you know what I mean? They've been doing it for so long. So I'm glad like... Yeah, I'm just so glad that the episode did well and it resonated with people. And she's been out here. I feel like with Nadia, it's just, she's the mom, isn't it? It's just like, it's not even something that we've even unpacked because it's just what it is.
Yeah.
But no, I was so happy for her and I'm glad that everybody loved the episode.
Yeah, exactly. It was nice. And it was also nice to see, there was like, I've seen comments where people are like, you know, that's pretty much their story where they struggled with their child and now they're doing amazing in their career and their child's thriving and all this sort of stuff. And they did it all by themselves and... Yeah, man, it's nice because I feel like a lot of the time you have mirrors up in front of you that show the things you don't want to see.
Yeah.
But it's nice for the mirror to be like, oh, wow, like, yeah, that's positive. Exactly. Like, that is what I'm doing kind of thing. Because, a lot of the time the mirror is like reflecting back on the negative things or like stuff that hasn't gone right. And you've got to be honest with yourself. But it's nice when it's like, a nice like accomplishment, something you can congratulate and clap for. 100%. So yeah, big up Nadia, big up Kai. Kai, take us out for lunch or something.
Oh yeah, you can definitely.
Right, okay, cool. Let's get to it. So first one is, hello ladies, hope you and your little ones are both well. I recently discovered your podcast and it has been my holy grail. Aww. I binged all the episodes in one sitting, lol.
Aww.
I'm currently 14 weeks and due in May, first time mum. And ladies, I am so nervous and anxious and overwhelmed about the process of giving birth. Girl, we all were. Trying to take it one day at a time, but I can't help think about the process. Is pregnancy anxiety a thing? Any tips? Love you both.
Oh my God. First of all, congratulations.
Massive.
And thanks for supporting the platform. We really appreciate it. Oh my gosh, is pregnancy anxiety a thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you know what? I don't think that anxiety goes away, but this is not just fearmonger.
It's
just the reality. Do you know what I mean? And I just feel like it's what you do with the anxiety at the end of the day, but it's just something that never leaves. I remember when I found out I was pregnant, I was obviously ecstatic because I was very much ready and she was very much planned. And it was just like, you hear so much hysteria about the first 3 months. And so even though I was very anxious, I was so happy. I did tell a lot of people like way before 12 weeks, like, well, mainly my close friends. But yeah, I just remember just feeling so paranoid about that, you know, the first trimester, because I was like, okay, you know, you've got to remain calm, blah, blah, blah. And then I had a friend who had a miscarriage at 5 months. Like quite recently. So I remember being really like anxious about baby loss later on. And then, so it never really leaves you. And then once you get into the third trimester, you just want to get to the end. And then once you get to the end, you just want the baby to make it out safely. And then once the baby comes, you just want 10 fingers, 10 toes. And not that if your baby doesn't have 10 fingers or 10 toes, there's anything wrong with them. But you want, you know, you want a healthy child. So I just feel like it never, I just think it never leaves you. And I just think it's definitely normal. So if you're getting more anxiety thinking it's not normal, then I would alleviate yourself from that because it is. Do you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, you are about to bring life into this world. Like this is her first baby as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is something you've never experienced before. Your body is going to be doing up and down and bosh bash, like it's just going to be doing all sorts of mad things that are going to be so new to you.
Yeah.
So give yourself some grace. Like, you know, it is, there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot that's about to happen, but you've got this, you know, you've got the tools to, your body is literally preparing itself and getting itself ready to do this thing. And just don't stress yourself out even more worrying about something that is just normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I had pregnancy. The first time I was pregnant, at 25, I didn't have pregnancy anxiety because I was just like, yeah, I'm pregnant. Ooh, like this is what happens.
Young and fearless.
And then after having a miscarriage and then a miscarriage and then a miss every pregnancy, I've had like pregnancy anxiety, which is pretty normal, I think, even though you're probably more anxious because you've lost a baby, a miscarriage, you've had a miscarriage before. Yeah, I was very anxious. I think with Ishmael, I was anxious the most. Because in my gut, I knew he was going to get here. I just knew. God just said, this baby's getting here. Like, this baby's getting here. But I was so anxious because of everything else that was happening around me at the time. But yeah, he got here. Labor, I think she mentioned, like, she's anxious about labor. I didn't really think about labor until I got to about 7 months and then realized that this baby has to come out of me.
Yeah, what can you do?
Like, the baby, this baby has to come out of me and there's only one way it's supposed to come out. I didn't even think that I'd have, like, an emergency C-section. Because Ishmael was due in June and I had him 6 weeks early. So that's, like, a whole, like, you're just going to be anxious the whole time. It doesn't change, but don't let it rob you of enjoying your pregnancy and enjoying you know, this miraculous thing that's happening with your body. Like, you're growing a whole human. And that's not something to be taken lightly. Like, it's just insane. So yeah, I feel like for me, pregnancy and anxiety definitely robbed me of having that pregnancy experience amongst other things, like But if I, when I do it again, I don't want anxiety to take my joy away from it. So that's what I would advise. Like, try to chill, try to relax. It's easy, it's easier said than done. And also with labor, just have a look at, like, the different ways you can have your child. If you want to have a planned C-section, if you want to have a vaginal birth, if you want to have a water birth, if you want to have a home birth, like, just maybe start thinking about it and planning it with your partner. If you're with your partner or your husband, or if you're not, start thinking about it, who you want to be involved. Like, so you get used of the idea, like, you start preparing yourself for it. Nine times out of 10, the plan that you planned, it doesn't actually go to plan because everything happens so quickly. But yeah, just make your, I would say, just get the information. Just be prepared and have the knowledge of what could go, what could happen. Even in an emergency, if you have to, if an emergency happens, you have to have this baby quickly. What are the channels of routes that could happen? Because that's one thing I didn't do. I knew you can have a cesarean, but, like, I didn't know if it was an emergency, what really, really happened. So yeah, that's that would be my advice.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And also with the plan thing, yeah, exactly. I mean, they, your midwife and stuff, they encourage you to have a plan. But mine absolutely did not go to plan. Like, it just, so I just also, because you're someone that's quite stressy and anxious at the moment, definitely have that plan in place so that you are mentally preparing yourself for labor. Because as I said, baby's going to come out one way or another. It's going to happen. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
But also, I don't want you to get stressed out if the plan doesn't go to plan, because it's highly unlikely that...
No.
So just know that it's normal.
The main thing...
it's normal. Like, most people don't
exactly
have the exact same, like, due date. You know, exactly how you plan. Like, it's just shit
happens. Unless you have a planned cesarean, then that, like, with a date booked in or the rest of it, that's the only way. The only thing I would say is... just have it just make the focus point that just you and baby are fine.
Yeah.
As long as you and baby are fine after labor, that's all that matters. Mm. Doesn't matter if you had the cesarean, doesn't make you less of a woman. Doesn't matter if you didn't have the water birth and you thought it would have a calm environment for the baby. We just want you and baby to be fine. So like, have a look at, you know, all the different ways you can give birth or you bring your child into this world. But yeah, the main part is that you're both safe and sound at the end of it. And then that the anxiety will go away. And then the anxiety of now you're a mom.
Yeah, so new set of anxiety. I wasn't scared of labor, but I think I always say because I hated the pregnancy side so much that like I was ready for labor. Yeah. I was like, run that. I don't care how much it hurts. Yeah. And I just feel like by the time I was in labor, of course it was painful. Like, of course it was unbearable pain. It was mental, but I was still like, oh my God, I'm not going to be pregnant anymore. No more heartburn, no more high blood pressure, no more. Oh God, what a time.
I honestly just wanted I just needed the pregnancy to get to full term. That's all I cared about.
Yeah.
And then when I got to, I think maybe that's why the realization kicked in when I got to 7 months, because I thought to myself,
yeah,
if I have to give birth to this child, he's going to make it. He's 7 months. The hospital will keep him alive, man. We'll get there.
Exactly.
But I think that's when I started thinking about it. But thank you. And we wish you the best. Keep us updated. Exactly.
Best of luck with it all. Okay. Dilemma number two.
Crazy.
Hey, raising me and mine. I've been married for 7 years and we have 2 kids under 6. My husband works a lot and lately I feel more like we're housemates than partners. Aww. We barely talk unless it's about bills or the kids. I love him, but I miss feeling desired and connected. I don't even know how to bring it up without it turning into an argument. How do you keep your marriage alive when motherhood and life just take over everything? Feeling invisible. Aww. I'm assuming you're feeling that way. Yeah, it's same. I feel like it's more normal than not. You know, I feel like most people are just on autopilot. Mm. Especially, I mean, I've got one and you've just described my household.
She's got two, right?
You've got two. So I can imagine.
Under six?
And two under six, yeah. So I can only imagine like everything is so fast paced. It's where's this one going? This routine, that one. There's this one had a bath. Is dinner made? Is this? And then if you're factoring in work and stuff like that, that just adds a whole new layer. So first of all, I want you to know that it's very much normal. But just because something's normal doesn't take away from your desire.
Yeah.
You know, the desire that you have to want to feel connected. And
it doesn't mean it's right.
And yeah, exactly. Just because we normalize it doesn't mean it's okay. Like Whitney said, it's not right. But it's okay. Like, you know what I mean? It's not. I just think you have to make a concerted effort. I think the main thing is communication. Like in my house, like we're so busy. Like I always say, Nick and I like passing ships sometimes. And it's sometimes the only communication we do have is, okay, this is my week. This is what it's looking like. I need you here. I'm going to be here. Can I take this shift? Because blah, blah, blah. Like, and sometimes that is all the communication that we have. And it's really bad. But I feel like you have to just make a concerted effort to make sure that you're just talking about things outside of the kids.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like sometimes you have to say things. Like, I feel like you actually have to say it out loud. Like, you have to be intentional about wanting to do that. So, for example, when I say that, I mean, like, you have to be like, babe, can we have a conversation not about the children? Like, and you have to lead that. I feel like sometimes if there's something that you want, you have to be the leader. You Absolutely. Know, if we're sitting around waiting for people to instigate it, it might not come. Like, you have to go after the things you want. And this is your husband at the end of the day. Like, if you can't be honest and vulnerable with him, then like, what are you doing there, to be honest with you? So I would first and foremost have a conversation and be like, babe, we are drifting. Like, let's not let this our family set up be purely about the kids. Of course they're important, but I feel like we over Marvin Harrison says this, the great, great Marvin Harrison, I'm always quoting him. He says, like, you know, I feel like sometimes people put more emphasis on children than what they actually need. And it's so true. And I never really thought about it. And like, it almost becomes a crutch.
Yeah.
At some points, like, oh, the kids. The kids just need water, food, and shelter. Like, all of this, like, stuff that we put. And ultimately, I feel like it is really important to nurture your relationship, because the things that are going to guide them in life is seeing a happy marriage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like those things are so much more valuable than the other external things that we feel like kids need. Like, literally, kids just need to feel loved. They need to be warm. They need to be fed. And they need to eat. And they need to be have water, whatever it is, the basic necessities. And so I think that it is really important that, like, not saying take energy away from your kids, never, of course they're always going to be priority and number one, they're minors and they're dependents, but your marriage also should get equal amounts of attention.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So just, I say all about to say, like, you don't have to like hyper-focus on the kids so much to the detriment of your marriage.
Yeah.
We get childcare for all sorts of things. Like, make sure that like date night is a priority. Mm. And again, it doesn't have to be something that you're, I'm saying all of this, I've done none of it. And I take my own advice and I will be. But I just feel like even with Nick and I, we're constantly talking about it. So even if we're not doing it, like we're aware,
you're aware of it needs
to happen. So he'll just be like, we need a date night. I'm like, I know, high five. Like, I agree. Like, whether we actually do it or not, but the fact that it's both on both of our minds, like, I feel like sometimes that's enough. But it sounds to me like what you're craving isn't even like anything big. You just need to have conversation, you know? Yeah. I feel like talking and communicating is so like overlooked.
Yeah.
Sit your husband down, pillow talk, and just be like, babe, we need to talk outside of these kids. We need a date night.
Yeah.
You know, be, use your initiative, plan something, sort out the childcare, do whatever, and then let it be known to him that this is something that you need to, that it's not always on your shoulders and that, you know, it's something that he instigates. But yeah, I just think you just have to make the effort. That's all it is.
I saw like a TikTok and this woman was talking about how like marriages change when you have a child, and how like a lot of married women feel like single mums. And she was saying that sometimes in some cases it's because, and I'm not saying this is your case, but she was saying sometimes that when we have the children, when you're married, I'm not married, so please take this with a pinch of salt. I'm paraphrasing also, that you're basically using the child as something to still connect you. When actually it was kind, if you look back at your marriage, it kind of was like that before the child got there, but now it's heightened because you now, before you had filler conversation with maybe it was work, maybe your friends, but now you've got filler conversation where it's just the children. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of saying, oh, the child's taking all the time, but actually there was cracks before, but the child is now basically...
like a cover up.
Yeah, almost like, oh, a cover up. But actually, even if the child wasn't there, you'd feel maybe less desired or less. And again, I'm not saying this is the case, but this is something I saw on TikTok. And I was like, that's quite interesting, actually, because I think children do, when you have a child, it does magnify the things that were not going right or the red flags in each other that you definitely saw before, but now you cannot ignore them because there is a whole another human. So even like you said, making it intentional, having these conversations, do that, because then you understand where you are in the marriage.
Exactly.
Is it that the children are taking a lot of time from you guys and you are solely focusing on children, not each other, or have you drifted apart? Is it something that needs to be rebuilt, or is it something that you walk away from? I'm not saying this is your situation. I'm just saying this is what I saw on TikTok. It was one of these, like, you know, these relationship
people
or whatever. So yeah, that was quite interesting, because I think for me, I'm not married. I'm a single mom. I feel like sometimes all I do is talk about Ishmael to my friends. Like the conversations we have is just, oh, how's Ish? She's all right. Oh, Ish did this, blah, blah, blah. So I can understand how being married and that being a conversation in the house constantly about the children and no longer like around your relationship. But yeah, communication is key.
Yeah, 100%.
And all of what Audrey said.
And it does happen. Like Nick and I, we're still like very much like in... we just still can't believe we're parents. And so it works for us to, like, we talk about Anaya all the time. Like, if we, on the odd occasion where we do go out or whatever, and we're just like, let's not talk about Anaya, we do find it coming back to her in a way that's like, but I feel like it's in an endearing way.
Yeah.
Because we're still very gassed to be parents. Like, you know, we waited a really long time. We've been together for so long. We've only just had her. So, and she's at this stage now where she's doing a lot. But I feel like if that, but that makes us both happy.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's an issue when you're both like genuinely cool with it. But even then, like sometimes it'll be like, okay, like we need, like, let's not talk about her. It's actually enough. Like, let's find something else to talk about. But again, yeah, I just think it's all about intention. But I think it's so true. Like kids absolutely magnify an existing issue.
Yeah.
Like, and if you had a happy, healthy relationship and you had it and you have a child, it's going to make it just, it's going to make it bigger, greater, and better. If you already had, like, you know, there were cracks, then it's only, those cracks are just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So yeah, but I think that does happen to a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Where kids,
friendships, relationships, everything,
like all types of relationships, you know, whatever they look like, whatever the dynamic is. So I hear it, and yeah, just plan that date night. talk to your man. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be anything that deep. Like, when you're in bed, just be like, can we talk?
Yeah.
And bring it up and just...
And these kids take a lot mentally from you. Like, the last thing you want is... I don't like that. I don't like you feeling like invisible, basically.
Yeah, that's an awful feeling. Not cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not cool. You should really, especially with your husband, that should be someone you should be able to sit with. So I hope that has helped.
Yeah.
And let us know how you get on.
Yeah.
Right. Which one should I? Okay, cool. Hi, Aisha and Audrey. I love your podcast and the realness you bring. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I don't have kids yet, but most of my friends do. And I feel like I've been slowly phased out. Oh. Group chats are all about nurseries and soft play dates, and I get told you'll understand when you're a mum. It's making me resentful, even though I know it's not their fault. How do I keep my friendships alive when we're just on completely different seasons of our life?
Oh.
I think we've both I've definitely been there.
Same, boy.
I've definitely been there, but also I've definitely been on the flip side of talking about soft plays and group chats.
I'm guilty of both.
Don't literally.
Yeah, I'm guilty of
that
both.
Don't. I think it's fair. Your feelings are valid. I think it's fair to feel resentful, especially if you do want to have children. And the fact that you've literally said, like, you know, it's not their fault. You're not feeling resentful in a horrible way.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing maybe you do want to have children and it's just not happened for you maybe yet. How do I keep my friendships alive? Have an honest conversation with them, you know? Just be like, girls, can we talk about something else?
Yeah, that's not kids. Exactly. Yeah, straight up.
Because you'll be surprised. Your friends will not realize how much they're even talking about their kids.
Yeah.
And they probably are leaning on you for you to be the friend to take them away.
Yeah, exactly. To bring something
from being
mum. Yeah.
So you could absolutely keep your friendships alive by, and you know what? Like, your friendships, if they're solid friendships, they should be, you shouldn't need to keep them alive at all. Like, if your friends are icing you out and you feel like it's like being nasty, then that's a different conversation completely. Like, I don't know how good of a friend they are just because you're a mum. And I don't like when people say stuff like, oh, you know when you're a mum.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll understand when you're a mum.
2025.
Although it is a very true statement.
It's true.
It is don't a very, very true. Yeah. Yeah, but you don't say it to people who don't have who don't have children yet, because you don't know what this where they're at in their like motherhood journey. But yeah, I've definitely said now to my friends who have got children, like, now I'm a mum, I understand. Like, I get when people say when you're a mum, you'll understand. So yeah, be honest with them and like be the fun friend. Be the one that's like, girls, all you do is talk about kids. All you do is do nursery runs or whatever. Let's go and have lunch without the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I feel like with most things, talking is the key. And sometimes it's hard because people don't want to communicate things. No. They don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they don't want to be bad vibes or whatever. But honestly, it really is the only way to get through most situations. A lot of the time, I don't think people are doing things maliciously.
No.
Because I've been on both sides, I feel like I'm hyper aware of being that person.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm very like big on having separate group chats for things. Do you know what I mean? So we have like our mummy group chat.
Yeah.
And that one, you know that you can get your shit off because no one is feeling ostracized or no one's feeling left out. And really and truly, those groups are just very much functional groups. Like, it's not like we're in there ever talking about GIST.
No.
Like, it really literally is like,
my kid didn't like, eat today.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not eating. Like, are your kids eating?
No, literally. Like, oh, I just done the nursery run. I couldn't wait to get them there. Oh, you know, this one's not eating. This one's got a cold.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you guys do in this situation? It really is just an information sharing tool.
Yeah.
Our mummy group chats, but it feels like a safe space.
Yeah.
As the mum, because, you know, you can talk about your kids till thy kingdom comes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that group is for. And yeah, being on the other side when like you're in a group with majority mums and you haven't had a child yet, it's just annoying. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because it's a conversation that you can't necessarily contribute to.
Yep.
I mean, you can. Like, and I'm down for advice. Like, if you've got kids in your life in any way, shape or form, you probably have something valuable to add.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I understand why you wouldn't want to contribute, or like it's just not necessarily your remit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like I've always been very aware, but I just think that with the mums, because you're the one writing in, it's going to be hard because the mums are just going to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be aware that this is annoying. And because the majority of them are mums and you're the one that isn't, like, I just feel like they're just not going to be aware of how you're feeling. So unfortunately, you are going to have to be that person. If you do have that dynamic in your friendship group where you can just be like, girls, this is boring.
Yeah.
And we talk about other things and they're not going to be offended because everyone's got different styles of like friendship and how they talk to each other and how they address things or whatever. So if you can do that way, then just be like, girls, like respectfully, I don't want to keep talking about your kids. Like,
what I would say though as well is in that group chat, don't go on mute. Don't just not say anything because it can be taken in another
100%,
way.
Yeah.
So if they are talking about their kids or whatever, or just even if you just put an emoji in there laughing, like, or they've said their kid did something or whatever, just laugh with them or whatever, but don't go on mute and like open a chat and ignore them and come out because that can be perceived by different people very differently.
Yeah, that's very
true. And you don't want them to feel like you're dismissing them and their children.
Yeah, because people are precious about their kids.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And it's like, again, I don't think that people do it maliciously.
No.
I think if you're in a space where the majority of people are parents, then naturally that conversation will overtake the
group. For sure.
And like Aisha was saying, you can deviate that conversation, bring up other things or say, but I think you need to say something to them.
Yeah, you need to say something.
I think you should need to be like, girls, like, can we just like, you know, rein it in a little bit?
Yeah.
So I don't have kids and I want to be a part of these conversations and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because if it was about anything else, like, I feel like we would happily say.
Yeah,
if everyone randomly started talking about trucks out of nowhere, and you were the only person without a truck, I don't think you'd feel a way to be like, girls, I don't have a truck.
Exactly,
like, you know what I mean? So I feel like you have to just let them know so that they can be aware. And yeah, I agree. Like that whole thing of like, oh, you won't understand until you have it. It's actually true. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's actually true. Like, and it's, I know it's so patronizing and confident.
Yeah.
I would never say that to someone because I think it comes off a certain type of way.
No way can you say that.
There's no way of saying it. I think it's very condescending. I think it's very patronizing, but on the flip side, there is a truth to it. Like, because I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. There were so many things I didn't understand until I was in the position. So yeah, I think it's a two-way thing. But I think you're not less than, you are not less valuable in your friendship group. But yeah, you have to let them know how you feel so that they can make amendments in the group. You know?
My last point for that though is that I don't know how old you are, but one thing I will say is that millennials, our generation, are really good at making friends. Mm. We're really good at going out and making new friends and not being offended.
Mm.
All the generations after us don't want to make friends. They don't want to, it's like no new friends. Yeah. No, you can absolutely make new friends that don't have children and have your own little space where you don't actually have to feel like, okay, you have to listen to what these are talking about kids, and you have to be mindful because they're feeling towards their kids and stuff. Create a new friendship group.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're leaving them behind. They're still your friends. But there's nothing wrong with making new friends.
Exactly. Or leave nothing to your friends that don't have kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You probably have friends without kids that you just haven't like
invested in or built into.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
there's nothing wrong with that. Honestly, just everybody go out and start making new friends. You don't realize what networking and building friendships and relationships with people can do for you, what doors it can open, all the rest of it.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Hey, ladies, I'm a single mum to a 3-year-old, and lately I feel like I've completely lost myself. My whole week revolves around nursery runs, work, and bedtime routines. Boy, I know that. I barely recognize who I am outside of being a mum. I tried going out with my friends last weekend, but felt guilty the whole time, like I was doing something wrong for wanting a break. How do you balance motherhood and still feel like you without feeling like a mom? Let me tell you something. When you go outside, have the best time of your fucking life, because the child is at home waiting for you.
Ain't going nowhere, child.
Hopefully, you've left them with somebody who you trust. Mm. And when I go out, you watch the podcast, and I'm guessing you follow Raising Me and Mine Instagram page, but I am unapologetically outside when I want to be, because I get very tired. But I take the breaks. Like, I recently went to Italy and that was fun. Like, and the first time I went out, ish was, I think, 8 weeks. My mum was like to me, no, he wasn't 8 weeks. No, he might have been 8 or 9 weeks. My mum was like to me, no, you need to let me have him for a night.
Mm.
Was he 8 weeks? He must maybe around maybe 12 weeks, maybe not 8 weeks, because I had the cesarean, although I was driving after 4 weeks of having the cesarean. But she was like, you need to let me have him for a night so he gets used to of that my house, my smell, and then you also don't get that anxiety of separation. So my mum had him, and I remember it was me, Rochelle, Annie, Nichelle, and Noreen. We literally just went to like Dirty Martini in Covent Gardens. It was just an early night. I think they met me after like work. No one was dressed up, nothing. It was just like, let's just go for drinks kind of vibe. Because I was like, Isha's not going to be here, blah, blah, blah. And I when we went, I felt, you know, when I dropped him off, I felt bad. I was like, this is a bad idea. And I rang my mum so much before we left that. But when I got out, I was like, oh, this is nice. And that was like really early doors. That wasn't even a year of doing motherhood. But when you're a single mom, and I don't know how long you've been a single mom for, if it's been the whole time your child has been, your child has been here. But you need the break. Like any mom needs the break anyway. But like you carry so much on your, you're juggling so much on your plate every single day. It's 24/7. Like you're basically doing two jobs, three jobs. You said you work, and then you have your child, and then you're a single whole parent. So you're doing mum and dad, right? You deserve the break. Doesn't mean you need to go out. You don't need to go out partying or whatever. Like it could literally just be like mum, sister, brother, whoever. Can you just watch him while I go to the gym or her? Can you watch them while, I don't know, I read a book or watch a series uninterrupted? Like you could literally just be at home, but you absolutely deserve the break to be able to feel like you. It took me ages to feel like me again, although the outside looking in, people thought, oh my God, Aisha's doing amazing. Like her and Isha traveling, she's just cracked on. She's got, but it took me ages to feel like me again because it was like, having to rewire my mind of how I thought motherhood would be for me, what my house would look like, like in terms of like the whole family set up, feeling like you should have known this was going to happen, like you should have done better, like how did you get yourself into this predicament, and kind of like feeling like you've just started all over again. So it took ages for me to feel like, oh, I'm like, I feel like me. I honestly feel like only this year I feel like, oh, like I'm back to feeling like 100%. I don't think I did before. So it's not unnormal to feel guilty. It's not unnormal to feel guilty when you're out enjoying yourself, but you do deserve it.
1,000,000%. I co-sign all of that. I think that motherhood and identity it's a very complex thing.
Yeah.
And I think that it's something that most people go through in some way, shape or form. I think like for some people, you know, losing themselves or feeling like they've lost themselves can be like quite consuming in terms of like their motherhood experience. For other people, they really embrace this idea of like, no, I'm a mum, like I'm wearing this label and I love it.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been a little bit like that. And I didn't think I would be. I thought I'd be the opposite. I always thought I would be like fighting for my life to maintain who I am and like my baby's coming along. Like I'm me, nothing's going to change and I'm just going to have a kid.
No, I love that you've said that because actually you're right. Your new identity is mum.
Exactly. And I feel like that is part of where the problem is that people are trying to
hold on to
old version of themselves whilst you've had this massive overhaul.
Yeah.
Like your life has changed massively.
Yeah.
And you've got to remember the baby still thinks they're an extension of you. They still think they're a part of you until they're two or something like that. So they're incredibly dependent on you, more so if you're doing it on your own. Do you know what I mean? Because you don't even have the other person to kind of offload onto. So I think that like we need to let go of this thing of like being yourself as a mum. This is just a new 2.0 version of yourself. Yeah. And it's like, how do you manage and how do you reconcile the two now? And I feel like that's how we should look at it. You kind of got to say goodbye to the old you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Say goodbye to the old you. You are a mum now. This is a new version of yourself. But how do we function so that you're not completely immersed in motherhood to the point where you don't feel like you feel guilty every time you leave the house.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy yourself. And there is a world in which the two can collide,
yeah,
and the two can exist and they can coexist with one another. But you have to give yourself time. Like three is still very young. Like three, I feel like we underestimate young. The, you know, we see these kids now and because they've gone from little blobs to now they're like talking and walking and, but they're still so incredibly young. And so when you think about how young they are in perspective, like in terms of who you are and like your journey, like, I feel like because we see them develop so drastically, mm-hmm, from newborn to a three-year-old, just in terms of how they look is completely different.
Yeah.
But actually, like, it's a very short space of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all of that to say, like, give yourself grace that you're not 100% yourself, like, you haven't 100% figured it out. Like, we're all learning on the job.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, letting go of that mum guilt is where it starts. I feel like, you know, you don't have to be mother 24/7 365 no. to be a good mom. Like, you definitely, like Ashley was saying, that like you definitely deserve to have, you know, alone time. You definitely deserve to be outside. You definitely deserve to have enjoyment, and you definitely deserve to have alone time. Like, I feel like you're allowed to have alone time.
Yeah.
Like, that is not a crime. But yeah, I just think embrace the new place that you are in your life. Yeah. And I feel like so many of us proper try to be our old selves and we're not. Like,
I love that you said that.
Yeah,
because I think
like,
that was
it's gone. Like,
I think
gone.
That's probably why it took me as long as I probably feel like it has, even though it is Ishmael's free as well. Yeah, I feel like this year I finally was just like, this is me.
Yeah.
Like, you have to take me out. Like, if I can't do something or I'm not available for you because I'm running around doing stuff with my child. This is the new life. Like, this is my new life. I'm a mum.
Mm-hmm.
This is my new identity. I'm not the Aisha I was before. The Aisha I was before, any one of my friends will tell you, was the life of the party. Mm. I was the party starter. I was the party mingler. I was the party ender. Now, I'm still that same person. Like, I'm still, like, a lot of fun, but, like, I have more responsibility. There's more things to think about. Like, I'm a little bit more tired. Mm. I don't want to do certain things. There's certain things where I'm just like, I don't want
to
be around that.
Well, you have to pick your battles.
I've got to pick my battles.
Childcare was not
exactly
on the tap, you know?
Whereas before, there was, I didn't care. Like, I didn't care. I was literally just like, whatever, I'm going to do whatever I want, whatever makes me happy, blah, blah, blah. But like, and after having Ishmael, I felt like I could still keep that version of me. But that is incorrect. Like, that version of me is gone completely. And it was just something innate that happened. Also, you have to remember that your hormones do not go back to normal. Is it like for like 2 or 3 years or something?
Yeah.
So right now, you're probably just Right now, you're probably just leveling back out, like, your hormones and everything. You might have had, like, postpartum hair loss if you're anything like me and Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
Hormones are up and down. Maybe your periods are still moving weird and now they're finally kind of leveling. Like, there's so much that happens to you. So trying to feel the identity you had before, that's not going to happen because so much has happened to your body. Alone, like, your body, you probably feel like you don't even recognize your body anymore.
Exactly.
So give yourself grace, try to understand the new you, but also try not to feel guilty about having you time.
Exactly. And this is not to say that, like, the old version of you is dead and gone. It's not. It's just, it just looks differently now. So I feel like once you accept that, then you can learn how to navigate this new version of yourself. And I feel like that brought me peace. Just being you know what, girl, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, you're fighting for your life, trying to be the old Audrey, like trying to prove to people that like, oh, well, yeah, just because I'm a mom doesn't mean I can't come out. No, it actually does mean that.
Yeah.
But how do we pick our battles? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we choose the things that we're going to do and be a bit more intentional about where we're going and where I'm using my time and just, like, being a bit more organized with what I want to do so that I don't feel completely, like,
alien.
Empty. Exactly. Mm. I don't feel like I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
At the same time, just embracing and understanding this new version of myself. And once I did that and I was like, you know what, girl, you're a mum and you love it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, stop trying to be like cool. Like, stop trying to be like kind of like a pick me for your old life. Like,
yeah.
It's actually okay. So yeah, I hope that helped. It felt like good advice.
Yeah,
so,
it did. Hopefully,
really hope
we hope all of the advice helped.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, those are the four.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that we got dilemmas and they were very varied.
Yeah.
And also just about the girl that doesn't have kids. I love that people that are not mums or not parents feel like they can get something from the platform.
Yeah.
Because it really is for everybody. Like, you don't have to have a kid. You just have to fuck with what we do and everyone's welcome. So I love that she felt seen and she felt like we could hold space for her and help her out with
her
dilemma. And I feel like it probably is a very common thing amongst friendship groups.
Yeah.
But just talk it out. Everyone just needs to talk. Everyone.
Yeah, honestly, just have a chat. Or send us more.
Yeah, exactly. Send us
more. And we're more than happy. I mean, we did not plan. This was not on our bingo card for the year.
At all.
The podcast wasn't on our bingo card. But, bloody card, let alone this. So, if you feel comfortable sending them to us, please do. We really appreciate it. Christmas is upon us.
Christmas
is upon us. I see everybody getting ready. My Christmas tree is half up.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to pull mine out this weekend.
Yeah.
And do it with Anaya. Now that she's a bit older, I feel like she'll...
Don't do it with Anaya. Ishmael put one of the things up his nose.
No, maybe not. Maybe when she's at nursery, I'll just surprise her when she gets home.
As long as you ain't got any small little beady things.
No, I don't think we do. But yeah.
Yeah, cool. So we wish you all... If you are celebrating a Merry Christmas, if you are not, have a lovely festive period. We will see you in the new year because we are going to give you guys a break from the podcast. But we will still be posting on the Instagram page, so you'll still be able to interact with us. But yeah, we hope you have a lovely Christmas. Happy New Year. And thank you so much for being here for us and making this a success. We feel like it has been.
Absolutely. And just well done to you. Like, you're on a podcast now. Like, you've crazy. Just actually just killed it. Like, you've just eased your way in so smoothly. I'm so happy. Like, I love raising me and mine is we're just so happy with just like how well it's doing.
I just can't believe it.
Exactly. Same, the engagement and how like committed and loyal everybody is and how invested everybody is. And just like, we've had some really big wins. So hopefully next year we have more.
Yeah. So, and by the time you see this, we probably would have done brunch maybe.
Yeah.
So, or be doing brunch. So everybody that was at brunch, thank you so much for coming. Thank you to all of the sponsors that helped us out with gift bags and stuff. We'll see you in 2026.
See you 2026. Bye.
Bye.